It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Coming up in this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Neil Day. Neil Day started his professional career as a PGA professional. He really didn't know what he wanted to do with his life, but after talking to a PGA pro at the course he grew up playing, he decided that's what he wanted to try. Where is he now? Well, you'll have to hold on for a little bit, and we'll get to that. It's an interesting story and one that I think you'll really enjoy. Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Go to their website, blackmanauctions.com, find one of their upcoming auctions, and go see it. I think you'll be impressed when you go see a Blackman auction. We're back with more of From the Short Grass after this. Stay with us. At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own, to seize opportunity, to anticipate rather than react, to deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world, and to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
I'm Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. I've heard it said that sometimes there are two best days with real estate ownership. It's the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Depending on where you are in your journey, let me help. If you're looking for that outdoor getaway or that home in the city, I can help. If you're looking at selling that outdoor property you haven't seen in 3 years, I can help. Or selling that home in the city that you've outgrown, I can help. Blackman Auctions is your one-stop real estate company. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I want to tell you real quick about our good friends Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of the properties they manage, and book your overnight stay. You'll be glad you did. Neil Day grew up playing the game of golf, played in high school, played in college, became a PGA professional. But where is he now? Well, he's a small part of Simmons Bank and what they do on the golfing side. Very interesting story that I think you're going to enjoy. On the tee, Neil Day. Neil Day, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Man, you're looking good. You look like a banker now and not a golfer. I knew I'd get you with that.
I appreciate it.
When did you first pick up a golf club? Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. Back home, Wilkesboro, North Carolina, Oakwoods Country Club, my father's release was weekend golf. And I asked for a good solid year to go to the golf course.
A year?
A year, but that was dad's release. Okay, so that was probably back in 85.
Getting away from you.
Getting away from me and my sister, yes. And so finally, I think I picked up a club at age 10. In the backyard and made some swings, and dad came out, gave some pointers. I took to those pointers. He recognized that and then let me tag along. And the tagging along ended up playing in some of his weekend games with his buddies and then high school golf started, and college golf started.
You got a little better and a little better.
Yeah. And now we've made a transition.
When did you really think, Neil, that, okay, I want to try and make golf a career? You talk about high school golf and college golf. Did it come that early to you?
It didn't. Playing professionally was never a part of my thought process. And being in the professional aspect on the teaching and management side had not really been a thought either until after college, a couple of corporate stints that led me to the path of moving back home and meeting with the PGA professional that I grew up under just as an opportunity to use his ear. You know, those folks, PGA professionals at golf clubs can be a tremendous impact on young individuals and throughout their adult life to a degree as well. Mr. Duncan took me under his wing, gave me some very sound advice, and then at the very end offered, and if you ever have the curiosity of what it would be to, you know, have a career in golf, come back and talk to me. I took that home and thought about it, chewed on it. And a week later, came back to him and said, let's talk a little bit more about this. I realized it was such a passion, and it still is such a passion for me. The game has given so much. It's really never taken anything from me. It's more it made you learn those life lessons. You know, the game itself may take away a moment of just pure joy and celebration, but it sets you back to you're reevaluating yourself and where you are. It's an opportunity for continued progress, continued growth, this, that, and the other. So those moments of defeat, as you would look at them, are actually moments to grow. And I would treat those the same as I did if there was a victory, which were very few in some of the events as a junior. But there were those moments, and I learned to embrace both of them equally. So by doing that as a young age and knowing where it could take me from standpoint of a career, I said, let's go. I'm all in.
Obviously, your father supported you when he saw you taking the lessons that he taught you, working on it, getting better. How did he support you throughout high school and college golf?
My dad supported me when he could. We blue collar working class family, North Carolina mountains. Dad had most of his opportunity to use that weekend time in which he used for himself, and he pivoted and immediately used it for me. The instruction aspect, the etiquette aspect. I mean, one thing I remember always, I'll never forget this for as long as I live. My father always would get on to me if I was walking or in the golf cart not to step or drive over a sprinkler head, right? Most people don't think about that.
Some of them stand like a 2 or 3 inches off the ground, and I always go and tap it down, and a little water comes
exactly,
up.
Exactly, a little, yeah. Yeah. Right. And so just those small lessons, you know, take care of the course. Be respectful of those you play with. Be respectful of those who are also out there. Respect the game.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing to me what I learned in those short few years of high school and time with my dad, that when I got to college at Elon and began to play, the foundation was there. And it was interesting because you could see the foundation had not been placed for other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of a sudden you're going, wow, he may not have the etiquette that others have, but here's an opportunity to use golf again as a teaching moment and say, hey, can I fill your divot for you? And maybe he'll catch on.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. Absolutely.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we had great synergy as a team. We really worked together to help each other in every way possible.
So you decided that you wanted to be a PGA pro after talking with your old professional at your home club, and you slept on it for several nights.
Yep.
You went back to him. You said, hey, let's try this out. What was his response?
So in response, Lee was very, very excited, especially since it was someone he knew and he knew the personality of, the character of. I came in there, guns blazing, and he gave me free rein to create an experience that I wanted to create moving forward that I could take with me. That was a huge opportunity. Most places have strict rules, guidelines, procedures that you're doing for membership, for this, that, and the other. My club didn't have those in place, so he gave me the opportunity to create them. You don't get that as an entry-level assistant. So
right.
He immediately took the padlock off and said, you go do what you do. And I was there for one season. And elevated myself to a promotion to another club at that time. And I think he was anticipating that after he saw the response and the drive that I had.
When did you first come to Arkansas?
Sure. I joined the Country Club of Little Rock and Darrell Shelton in 2004.
What a pro.
What a person. Pro, father.
Hunter.
Hunter. Yes.
Duck hunter.
Duck hunter. he is by far probably, he's the best friend I have here in Arkansas. He was, I get a bit emotional when I think about Darrell. He's probably very near retirement, and I am wishing him and the membership of that club and the future membership of that club all the best. It holds a very, very dear place in my heart. But that started the journey to where we are now. I didn't realize what the Country Club of Little Rock, or as Arkansans say, Little Rock Country Club, you know, whichever way you want to put it, I embrace both. I never fully understood when I first got there until after the first year what platform had been established for me in the network.
Mm-hmm.
And that network still flourishes. Very, very close friends. Very close friends from that first experience in Arkansas. And that was an assistant platform, meaning I was a staff professional there under the leadership of Darrell with the intention of moving on. How great would it have been to stay there, right?
Right.
It would have been super, but it was time.
Right.
It was time. And he encouraged me, led me, directed me in the appropriate avenues that I needed to take, and then made my way back to Carolina for a year and a half. And then I was back.
Crazy.
It was, yeah.
You couldn't stay away.
I couldn't. I had a fiance saying, "Hey, Neil, come on back home."
Yeah.
And, you know, home was her, but home is here also for me. It's my second home. I've been here 20 years. This is just incredible. And North Carolina will always be there.
So you go back to North Carolina. Fiance wants you to come back home to Arkansas, your second home. Is that when the Elotion Club and Neil Day connected?
It is. A bit of context on Charlotte. Carmel Country Club, co-head professional under the direction of Jeff Nichols. Phenomenal, phenomenal facility. 36 holes. Esteemed history within Mecklenburg County, across the street from Quail Hollow.
I mean, yeah.
It's really a really neat spot. But Lyndon was just too much to me. She meant too much. She means too much to me. Mm-hmm. And when she said, "I'm not willing at this time to relocate, it's not time for me," I said, "Hey, I'll come back." And at that time, I put the feelers out to the network that I had established at CCLR. Fortunately for me, John Ziske, Matt Frazier, Dan Snyder, all were at the Elotion Club and said, "Neil, we understand you're coming back. We'd love to give you an opportunity for you to place your feet down until you find your next head professional gig." And so that was two full seasons and a partial season on the other. And then that led to me back in the A1 role, the head professional role at Diamante Country Club. And that was led by Madison Pope, at the time general manager there, who's also a PGA professional. Madison had come over to take a golf lesson from Dan. And Dan said, "Hey, Neil, why don't you come over here and see what's going on with Madison?" So I didn't realize
what you were doing.
It seems like my whole career, I don't realize I'm interviewing. Hey, take that as a note, people. If you're ever having a conversation with somebody, know that you're probably interviewing for something.
You could be. So how did the lesson go?
It went great.
I was going to say, because you got the head job down at Diamante now.
Went to Diamante for 4 years. Absolute wonderful experience inside the village. Didn't have the opportunity to play many village courses due to the demand of the job, but had the opportunity to play several after I was gone from Diamante. And I have absolutely loved my visits to Hot Springs Village. That is a hidden gem. It's hidden for a reason.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great spot.
Then Pine Bluff Country Club?
Then Pine Bluff Country Club, yes.
Kind of a different flavor, yeah, if you will.
It is, and I'll give you some information here on how... what I realized and why Pine Bluff was right for me. Several PGA professionals look for that club to have the 10 to 15 year career. Myself, I wasn't looking for anything. What I was looking for was the opportunity that I could best assist as a PGA professional. And at Diamante, I was able to help in areas, programming, instruction, junior clinic implementation, all of the outing programs that they had in place, community organizations coming in, doing our best to maximize their take from their golf outings, and relationships. All of those put together, when I got the phone call from Pine Bluff, was we need someone to come down here and revitalize this program, this program, this program. And I went, oh my goodness, I've realized this is my wheelhouse. And with who I was speaking with on the other end of the phone, I knew right then that my history with that individual and the character that that individual holds, I knew that this was a win without hesitation. I said, let's do it. And that was 2014.
With the moves to the different clubs, though, you never left Central Arkansas because your home has always been in Central Arkansas, and that had to help, I think.
I agree completely. That network, being home, not having to think about relocation, thinking about a market in which you have no network that you may go to. Trust me, those were looked at. Those were applied for. Those facilities themselves, they were visited, you know. It's interesting how you get a taste in your mouth when you get back home and you say, the club's great, but I'm just not sure that I could call that home. Every time you come back to Central Arkansas, you're like, I'm back home. This is it.
Have you ever witnessed anything in all of the golf like the Pine Bluff Country Club four ball?
No. Especially my first year.
Oh, boy.
It was an eye-opener, and it was a character builder for me. I believe a lot of folks who were participants of that four ball had not been introduced to me, so it was an introduction as well. And it also brought me back to the true courtesies and traditions of the game of golf. I had some private conversations with a few folks that let them know that those are still a part of this club and will always be, and we ask them to use their best judgment. You know, it's we like to say the Pine Bluff four ball is a – we had T-shirts made up that said, I went to a party and a golf tournament broke out.
Right.
Rightfully so. It deserves that.
Yes.
It is there for everybody at the end of the summer to have one last hoorah, great weekend for an opportunity of a lot of fun. And we created that year in and year out, even with great credit to Matt Soto for our COVID year as he was chairman of the four ball and has continued that role moving forward. We were able to pull through, get all of our ducks in a row, have the four ball during the height of that. That was interesting. That was really, really, really interesting. But we pulled it off very well.
I am not a partier.
Me either.
I mean, I can go and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in the golf, and I think it's one of the most fun. I've played in the CCLR four ball. I've played in the Pine Bluff four ball. Both of those are up there at the tops in the state, in my opinion.
Agreed. And what's interesting is this year I went back as a participant.
And?
I wasn't ready for that either.
You get your butt kicked?
We did. Yeah. We got smoked. John Smikla. If you're out there,
oh yeah,
it was there. There's no ill will toward John. We played our rear ends off. We just qualified with a score, and I still have my professional designation. So, as they should do, move us up, which put us last seed in championship flight, and we went.
So you were playing the defending champions, right?
Defending champions that qualified. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and
actually, we took them the furthest that we took anybody. We took them to extra holes, which was nice. However, we didn't fare too well in the others. But I did stay. I didn't stay Thursday night. I did stay Friday night. I wanted to see what the party was like upstairs. Chef Jamie knocked it out of the park.
The best.
Band phenomenal. Weather fantastic. It was a reunion is what it was.
Yeah.
It was a true reunion. And then I didn't stay for Saturday night. Just wanted to come back to Little Rock for the kids and whatnot and the family.
Obviously, so if those that are listening haven't caught the drift yet, you are no longer a PGA pro, per se, at a course. You still
Correct.
Hold that designation
with your
card.
I do. I still have my membership, yes.
And your membership. But you now work for Simmons Bank.
Correct.
How did that come about?
While at Pine Bluff Country Club, I began doing some sourcing for the bank through apparel and golf balls, small items they use for customer gifts. And at that time, I had not realized the depth that
there was an interview going on.
Well, it kind of, but I didn't realize at the time that the depth that Mr. Castile and Mr. Black and Mr. Macris had gone into developing the Simmons Bank Open. through the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah.
And I did notice that these orders started getting a bit more complex and a bit more frequent. And then a couple of meetings occurred at the 601 location here in downtown Little Rock with a few executives at the bank, and we discussed some things needed for a tournament. Went on a couple of trips and came back, had some more meetings, and the next thing you know, it was, Neil, we feel that you have a place here at Simmons Bank. We understand where your career is currently as well, but we'd love for you to think about this. The role initially was business development here in the metro market of Little Rock. It's now transitioned into business banking. So I am a lender, but I'm to the core still business development, because what I do are people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I do in the community is I love being a soundboard, and I love being able to bring back feedback to our team. I did that in golf as well. It was very important. So conversations for me are a very, very comfortable thing. The banking talk and banking lingo is something that's still a work in progress. And I appreciate the patience that, that everyone at Simmons has given me, and the teamwork that they've given me is just phenomenal. And the fact that they still include me in the golf initiatives, which is, it's quite a perk.
I was going to say, not bad at all, no. Considering what they have taken on.
Yes,
I mean, obviously the Corn Ferry Tour, they're a huge sponsor of the Arkansas State Golf Association within the state of Arkansas. And now the PGA Tour Champions, second round of their playoffs coming to Pleasant Valley Country Club here in Little Rock next October. I mean, that's huge for the state of Arkansas.
It is absolutely. It still blows my mind to think about how this happened, because these conversations would just occur. You know, it's just a bunch of guys who play golf having a conversation about a what if. And then a what if turned into someone else asking that same what if. And then conversations began. Yeah, year and a half in the making. Now we have the championship coming here, playoff, for October 2024. I'm when I think about it, there's a piece of me that constantly looks into the mirror and says, why me?
Mm-hmm.
Why did Simmons want me? And I still can't answer that. But what I can do is to continue doing what I may have been doing that attracted them to me, and then build on the cornerstones that the bank has, and continue to be myself, help out whomever I can, whenever I can, wherever I can.
You talked about some of the golf trips, and obviously there are some Simmons Bank logos and some pretty prime real estate, if you will.
Sure.
And I say real estate in the golfing world, that's on a player's shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is Will Zalatoris.
Yes, sir.
And what he was able to do at Augusta National, his first time ever around that track, we thought we might have Fuzzy Zeller reincarnated right there. It just didn't happen, unfortunately.
I know. Yeah.
But that year for him in Simmons Bank, I don't know what they're paying for it, but I don't think it's enough because of the exposure that they were able to get off of Will Zalatoris.
I know that when ROI is looked at, everybody was very pleased.
Should be.
I can say that for sure. Will is such a unique person. Every ambassador on our team is so unique. Each of them bring a different attribute to the table. And Will is probably the most high profile that we currently have on our list of eight. However, he had a little stint there with an injury that took him out of the Masters last year. I was actually there on property watching the practice round and spoke with him, and he seemed fine and everything, and he played par three Wednesday, and then he said he knew it when he felt it. The injury was there, but moving on, he's back, and we're happy about that. We have Kevin Daugherty going to PGA Tour, and then we have Dawson Armstrong, Braden Thornberry, Zach Fisher, Glenn Day, Ken Duke. I mean, it's pretty solid.
It's a solid list.
It is solid, yes. And every one of them, which is very important to Simmons, also holds a tie to a market in which we reside.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's a college town they went to or a birthplace, whatever it is, there's a tie there, and that was important to us.
Best golf course you've ever played?
You can look at this from the golf professional side and from the amateur side. And I'm going to take a neutral answer here, not from playability standpoint or conditions or what. Just my favorite course that I ever played, and here's why. It was because I was with my father. It was just us, and we went over to Scotland in 2019, right after the four ball. And I took my hickory clubs with me. I didn't take my modern golf clubs. And we went over there, and the old course was, I'm sorry, it was the walk of a lifetime.
Playing with hickory shafts.
Hickory shafts on the old course with my dad, and the caddy on the first tee after I hit my first shot said, oh, this ought to be a great day. And he didn't let me hit the spoon again, which is like a fairway wood. And I hit driving iron on the tee all day long, and he would just point out spires or whatever.
Spots.
Hit it there. And I just would swing and swing.
You see that wind sock down there?
Hit it
Aim
there.
At it.
Boom. Yep. That's it.
How about that?
That I say that because of the experience.
Yeah.
My father, the clubs I was playing with, the conditions, it's just windy, no rain. You know, it was fantastic.
All right, I bet I know some of the answers to this question,
cool.
But this is the last one. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, that you could play around a golf with. So three other golfers that Neil Day would play around a golf with.
Yeah, I've answered this before, and it's never changed. One is my father. Two is the golf professional that I grew up under, Lee Duncan. The fourth one, I've always left open because I want that dream foursome to happen. So in order for it to, there's a lot of names under that four spot, but I've kind of left it open because I know there's so much more golf has to give me. And who knows who could fill that fourth spot tomorrow or a couple of years down the road. But if it's from the past, it'd be my father, it would be Lee Duncan, the golf professional I grew up under, and it would be Bill Green, the golf professional that Lee Duncan grew up under.
Wow.
His nickname was Pal. And not only was his nickname Pal, your nickname was Pal. Hey, Pal.
Hey, Pal.
How you doing, Pal?
Yeah.
And me as a junior golfer, my name was Pal, even when he was retired. But that would be the dream foursome because those were the men that were instrumental in introducing me to the game.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And you know where we'd play? We'd play at my home course back home, Oakwoods.
Yeah.
No reason to go anywhere.
No.
Nope. We want to play it there.
And you know that course so well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's, they say, like the back of your hand. We could walk it and play it in the dark.
Man.
I love it.
Neil, thanks so much.
Thank you, Trey. Yes, sir.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. Looks like this podcast has really taken off. The guests are incredible. Stories are captivating. It might be Trey's hard work and dedication to the sport of golf and his sincere interest in his guests. Or could be the support of an 85-year-old auction company that does real estate and industrial auctions all over the country and is owned by a guy that doesn't play golf worth a flip. You guys listen to the podcast. I think you know the answer. If you want to learn about the game of golf, listen to Trey. If you want to know about auctions, call me. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
That will do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I want to thank Neil Day for spending some time out of his day, leaving his desk job now at a bank, and coming and talking golf. Who wouldn't want to do that, right? Coming up in a future episode, I'm going to get into the rollback of the golf ball that the USGA and RNA have introduced. A lot of talk about that, but that's for another episode. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more, and I hope to see you sometime soon. From the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.